Rhode Island is once again ensnared in a noisy political campaign season. The stench of government corruption has led to new leadership on Smith Hill. Democrats control both chambers of the General Assembly by big margins. Yet the historic majority party can't seem to speak with a coherent voice on our state's struggling economy. The media seems ostrich-like, burying its collective head in the single-issue muck. There has been an awful lot of attention given lately in both the press and among lawmakers to such minor changes as ridding the state of the master lever. And, of course, the business community and conservative think tanks focus on cutting taxes as an economic spur. Then there are the silly season cries about environmental regulation. This canard reached its apex last week when state historian laureate Patrick Connolly launched an anti-environment screed on the Providence Journal's op-ed page. Quote, "The Coastal Resources Management Council and especially the Department of Environmental Management are the two greatest obstacles to Rhode Island's economic growth," unquote, opined Connolly. Connolly waxed nostalgic about a time eons ago when Rhode Island had no environmental regulations and textile and jewelry factories provided thousands of jobs to low-skilled immigrants. What he didn't mention was that Narragansett Bay was an open sewer, or that weak labor laws meant children dropped out of school and lost their limbs in textile mills. Yes, we have the highest unemployment rate in the country. Why should this be an excuse to revert to an anything-goes regulatory regime? Connolly knows our state's history as well as anyone alive. Yet he curiously avoids mentioning the mid-1950s panacea to replace lost jobs when textile mills moved south. That was to allow an Oklahoma oil company to build an oil refinery on the northern end of Jamestown. The refinery was not beaten back by the environmental movement. It met defeat when a group of wealthy Newport summer residents hired a very smart lawyer to thwart it in federal court. We owe them a huge debt. How do you think the Bay would have been affected by that? Our tourist industry is now worth more than $1 billion annually to our state's economy. How many boaters and fishing devotees would flock to a bay where an oil refinery belched pollution? Then there is the tax cut chimera, another search for a silver bullet. We've been down this road before, back in then-Governor Donald Carcieri's administration. In the middle of a recession, Carcieri and the Assembly insisted on slicing taxes for the wealthy. At the same time, state aid to education and cities and towns was cut. How did that turn out? Massachusetts has taken a much different route. For the past 8 years, the state's liberal Democratic governor, Deval Patrick, and a legislature as lopsidedly Democratic as Rhode Island have forged a much better economy. Unlike Rhode Island, Massachusetts has made serious investments in education for two decades. When the recession hit in 2008, Patrick and Massachusetts lawmakers went in the opposite direction of Rhode Island government. Massachusetts raised the sales tax by 1.25% so that education in the Bay State's cities and towns wouldn't face huge reductions. Massachusetts embraced universal health care as no other American state has ever done. Massachusetts also enacted public school testing years before Rhode Island so state officials could better evaluate school performance. While Rhode Island was looking for short-term game changers, Massachusetts was thinking longer term. The most florid example, of course, is that they didn't do the stupid Curt Schilling deal. Rhode Island lured 38 studios to Providence from the Bay State with crony capitalism, throwing $75 million in taxpayer money at an untested company. How did that one work out? From a high of 8.7% in 2009, Massachusetts now has an unemployment rate of 6.3%. Rhode Island still has an 8.7% jobless rate, the nation's highest. And Massachusetts does not have the structural budget deficits that Rhode Island has lived with for what seems like forever. Massachusetts isn't perfect, of course. No state is. As is the case with our state, Massachusetts has suffered the scourge of corruption on Beacon Hill, where the last three House speakers have all been convicted of crimes linked to public corruption. The lesson is that results matter. Government has a role to play in the economy. Isn't it about time for Rhode Island Democrats to adopt some attitudes from their neighbors in Massachusetts?